do you like? Movie podcast hosted by inebriated people. That's Kai with the cracking voice and Heather's touched by evil. One thinks he's Spider-Man, the other is a ninja. It's the Man I Love Film podcast, it's the MILFcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to MILFcast. This is the Man I Love Film podcast, podcast where you don't do movie reviews. Nope, it's a place where people like films get together and deal with that shit. I am your host, Kai. Joining me as always? God damn, I can't even do the intro. Willy Wonka herself, Heather Baxendale. Say hello, Heather.
Hello, sunshine. The earth says hello also.
I just introduced you as Willy Wonka and then as Heather Baxendale. It didn't even make sense. I'm already feeling cracked out for the show. So let's just jump in and spend a moment with you.
And now it's time for A Moment with Heather.
Okay, Heather.
Yes?
First of all, I want to tell you I mailed you something. That's really just for you, not for anyone else listening, just for you. There's something coming in the mail, okay? So keep an eye out for that.
Woohoo!
Listen, you always say that I hijacked this part of the show. And to be fair, A, I write the damn show. B, it's a moment with Heather, not a moment about Heather. Okay? But,
Yeah. In
the spirit of fairness, I've decided for today's moment with Heather, I'm going to let you rattle off for 60 seconds about whatever you want. And at the end of 60 seconds, you're done. I'm just cutting the segment. Okay?
Okay.
So,
all right.
Prepare to fill. I'm going to give you a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so Kai never lets us talk about anything other than movies. If we start talking about shows or video games, he gets all butthurt and yells. So, or singing. Singing's bad too. But I've been playing this game every free second I've had, Witcher 3, for the last week or two. And I finished it today, and it was greater than most movies I've ever seen. And I cried, and it was sad, and it was brilliant, and it was beautiful. And I'm so happy and depressed, and I want to be fetal. And it's like when you finished a good book, and you can't, like, get away from the book. You feel like you've left that world, and it's depressing, and you need to drink a lot of whiskey till you fall asleep and pass out, and then wake up, and then remember that you're in real life again, but this time you have a hangover. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel right now, because it just ended like 2 hours ago, and I have to go back to real life responsibilities and things, and I don't want to do that. But I'm glad I get to be on the MILFcast with fabulous people today. That's good also. Yeah, there was a tangent. Do I have more time?
6 seconds.
Oh my gosh, I actually finished before the time went out. That was good.
This has been A Moment with Heather.
Did you even say the name of the game during all that?
What game? Yeah, I said Witcher 3. I just said it really fast.
Okay, yeah, that was impressive. Okay, well, it's time to move on the show. Let's meet today's guest. Our guest today has a website. You can visit it at almostginger.com. You can find her on Twitter at almostginger. However, on Twitter, she does not put an E in that ginger. It is G-I-N-G-R. Now, I am married to a ginger. They are dangerous, so protect your ears and beware. I'm trained for this. You're not, so just be careful. Here we go. Give it up for our guest today, Rebecca Sharp. Say hello, Rebecca.
Hello, everyone. It's a pleasure to be invited on the MILFcast.
It's a pleasure to have you. You know, it's terrifying. Right when I introduced you, my wife walked out here, and it was like redhead on redhead crime. It was terrifying. Okay, so Rebecca, you're a newbie for us. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your site and what you do there?
Okay, as Kai correctly said, I am Rebecca and I am Ginger. My site is almostginger.com, which I have been running for about 3 years, and I guess it's a little bit different from some film blogs out there. It's kind of a film and travel blog, so I don't really want to choose between the two, because why should I? So I like to talk about film locations, and I go to a lot of film festivals in different places, and I like to talk about Wanderlust-inspiring movies in particular. So, yeah, that's kind of my deal.
And it's your blog, so you should be able to do whatever the fuck you want.
Exactly.
One of the things I think is pretty awesome about it, too, is it is different from so many, because everyone has a blog about everything right now, and yours does stand out in that capacity, and it makes it more interesting. And I like the different take on films as well.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice. Well, I think the main thing reason why I don't do reviews and stuff is just because I can't be asked to do reviews of everything I watch. Steer clear of that.
That's why we started this podcast.
Yeah, we are not a fan of film reviews. They're too, they've gotten too mean. I mean, there's so much enjoyment that we get out of bad films and films that are cheesy and films that age well over time. I can't even, like, I just saw Spider-Man and I wanted to say, it was my favorite Spider-Man movie that I've seen yet. But honestly, I need to see it again. I need to digest it. I need to get over the fact that I was so excited for a new Spider-Man in the MCU. I need to let all that stuff sift for a while. So if I had to put out a review every Friday when these films came out, I wouldn't believe the review in a year. I wouldn't stand behind it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think when I was doing reviews back when I started, I think it was very much like, yeah, this was a good film, or no, this wasn't a very good film. And I'm like, that's not a very good review, Rebecca. Like, calm down, do something else.
Oh, that's like the person that says yes and no to everything but never elaborates. Like that person.
Yeah. Yes, that person. Who wants to be that person?
All right, well, you're familiar with the show. For anyone that isn't, today we're going to do the Series 7. We're going to play the game. Before we do all that, we'd like to talk about what we've been watching.
What have you seen lately? What you've been watching? What have you seen lately?
Okay, Rebecca, you're our guest. Is there a film you've seen recently that you feel compelled to speak of?
Yes, I feel compelled to speak about Dunkirk. I saw that on Wednesday. It was really good. I have not seen many Christopher Nolan style
movies. You just gave it the review. You said you didn't like that you used to give films. You just literally did that.
I'm going to elaborate a little bit more.
Okay, good.
Or should I just stop there? Yeah, it was really good. Great. I have a tiny bit more. I don't think it's an overtly Christopher Nolan style movie, but I have not seen many Christopher Nolan movies, so maybe that's not a very good thing to say. No, I've not seen what he's done before the Batman movies. I've not seen Memento or...
What?
Hold on, Kai's having an actual heart attack right now.
What? Okay, Memento's like a top 10 film of mine, and I know a lot of people it's a top 5 film. Like, how, why, you're just like, I heard he did good shit, but I'm not going to really investigate that.
Yeah, I can see, and I know that a lot of people are going to gasp at this too, but I can see passing over the Batman films if that's not your cup of tea. But
no,
Memento's one of those.
She saw the Batmans, right?
Yes, I've seen the Batmans. Okay.
Well, nothing, I can see skipping far over those. Memento, though, is as a fan of film, that's a bucket list. You have to put that on and watch that. Even if you never watch it again, it's one of those that's an experience.
Heather, wait. I'm so sorry, Rebecca. Could you say Memento again? Say Memento again. Say it again.
Memento. Am I saying it with my dialect and you're going to mock me?
Heather's Midwest colloquialism.
Colloquialisms. I think we're going to put our new drop in there because I think we used it on a show that didn't end up a recording. We never posted it. So Steve Bush made us a new thing for your Midwest colloquialisms. And I actually said it right that time. I'm going to throw it in right there because it's Memento.
Memento.
Okay, better. All right. Please continue, Rebecca. I apologize.
No worries. Yeah, it was really good. I don't know what to say. I like how it's really like succinct, and it's not got like this huge long running time that I guess Interstellar was. And I like that it's really nice and tense all the way through and keeps you on your toes and things like that. I really like that in a film. And it's weird because as a Brit, I've always been aware of this term, like the Dunkirk spirit, as a way to like describe Britain's underdog mentality. And I've never really known where it's really came from.
Yeah.
So it's nice to know more about the event behind the saying, really. So
I read a real interesting article today that Nolan... Well, he had to be a little pretentious at the beginning because that's what he does. But he says at the beginning that he never writes for anyone. He feels that would be discrediting them or disservicing them or whatever, some bullshit. But he said when he was done, he wanted Tom Hardy for the part of – I didn't even know Tom Hardy was in it, to be honest.
I didn't either.
Until recently. But so he plays a pilot in the film. I guess he doesn't really talk much, and he's got like a, you know, a breathing mask over his face in the cockpit.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like he cast him to be his character in Locke and Bane at the same time in this movie. But he said he does a lot without really saying much.
Yeah, well, I mean...
He also did that in Mad Max.
There you go.
Yeah, obviously people just like covering up Tom Hardy's face. Yeah, no, I mean, because he's sat in a plane for the vast majority of it, so I guess you really do... He can't really act with his voice or his body language or his expression. So... I guess you're really quite limited as an actor in those respects. But yeah, he does fine. He's definitely, obviously, it's not going to be one of those standout roles for him. But yeah, it was fine. Yeah.
Okay, so you would recommend the film or no?
I would recommend the film, yes.
Okay, cool. I will. It's a DVD for me. Sorry.
Oh, God, I completely... I mean, yeah, because it's been released in, what, like 70 millimeters. And I imagine if you're going to see one of those huge... watch huge screens, then, and that's your type of thing, then great. But yeah, it was because my grandma wanted to see it because her dad fought in the not fought because it wasn't really a battle, but went out to Dunkirk to try and get the people back from Dunkirk. So so yeah, we took my grandma to go and see it, but I wouldn't have really bothered otherwise.
Okay. Well, by the way, I just want to throw this out. If you haven't seen Tom Hardy in Locke, which is basically Tom Hardy taking phone calls in a car driving at night for like an hour and a half, which sounds horrible. And by day, I'm an engineer in the construction industry, I guess you could say. And he plays like a guy that does large concrete pours. So a lot of like the technical terminology is stuff that I work in. So maybe it's a little more fascinating for me than most people. But at least I understood what he was talking about. But it's a really interesting film, and if you haven't seen it, you should check it out.
Okay.
That being said, I saw For Heather only, Jack Reacher 2, Never Step Up to the Future. I don't know even what it's fucking called.
It was not pleasant.
Here's what I'm going to say. Actually, I found it more enjoyable than the first one. The first one tries to be like a little too heavy. And
I like that the first one's heavy.
I know, but you like dumb shit. And what I'm saying is...
You like dumber shit. Nobody liked it.
I didn't like it. I'm just saying I found it a little more watchable. It had like kind of a more straight through line to it. It had no Michael J. Courtney. Had that going for it. And then it had like an interesting take. It showed a little heart to the character. But again, it was just kind of like a generic. I can't honestly remember what it was about now that it's gone. But I didn't like. Yeah. I didn't hate watching it. It was like, I don't remember if it was you or somebody else said like it's a good background noise film.
I think I might have said that.
Yeah.
Now that it's been a while since I've seen it too, I saw it like 3 days before I went in labor, so I can't be responsible for any of the nice things or bad things that I said about it.
You loved everything and everyone.
Half the movie I was sitting there crossing my legs trying not to pee myself because ew. I will not leave a movie gross. To go pee ever. Yeah. Grosser things have happened, Kai.
Mm-hmm. I know, but still, ew.
But I remember for me that afterwards people filled in, and I've read a bunch of the books. This was not one of the Lee Child books that I've read. Mm-hmm. There's like 15 or 16 of them, and most of them are really good. And they're kind of they're different than the first movie was, but they mirror the whole feel and concept of the character well enough. However, this was supposedly pretty spot on according to the books, and I thought it was off for his character. But yeah. The thing, I thought it would have probably been a better, more interesting movie because he and, I can't think of her name right now, Robin from How I Met Your Mother, the actress's name.
Oh, Cobie Smulders.
Yeah,
thank you. No, I like her a lot, but I thought they had really good chemistry. All of their scenes together I thought were really good. I think if you would have taken the stupid daughter and the stupid daughter stuff in it, maybe baby or whatever out, and just taken that whole entire... scenario out and thrown it away, it probably would have been a lot more fun movie.
Okay.
But none of that really fit. It broke everything up, and she was basically the idiot in the horror film to me. The things are only going to go bad because you have a stupid person making dumb choices.
Okay.
And that was kind of what it was. It was really easy and lazy using her character to screw everything else up.
You know, this is my movie that you've already talked about on this show. You realize that, right? And you're going on and on
yeah,
and about
well,
it again.
Yeah, well, you hijack my part of the show sometimes, so now I'm hijacking yours. Neener, neener,
all right, neener. Tell everyone if I recommend it or not.
No.
Okay. Yeah, you know.
Background noise. I mean, if it's on, like, HBO or something streaming. Like that, it's fine to pass the time, but it's not, like, don't pay to see it.
Okay. Well, why don't you tell us what your movie was?
I did a rewatch because I've been kind of enwrapped in my whole tangent that I went on earlier. And I was really excited because we haven't done family movie night in a while. Mm-hmm. And we did Rogue One with us and all of the dragons.
I love that fucking movie.
You know, and that was kind of what I was hoping for. Because for me, and I don't know about you, Rebecca, but and Kai and I are the kind of same way where we don't go to the theater as much anymore with our kids and our families and stuff. So when we
just
go to the theater,
that makes it sound like we go by ourselves. Like
no, we just
you're
don't
like,
get
we
the
don't
opportunity
go with
to
our
go to the
families.
Theater. We don't have the opportunity to as much as we'd like. So when we go, it's usually a big movie that we're pretty excited about, and you know, there's a good chance that either it's going to be good or we're so amped that sometimes it's after
like
time
the new
passes.
Juliette Binoche vehicle, like I gotta see that. Something with Beverly D'Angelo, you know? Something hot.
Yeah, that's what we run in theaters, see. But sometimes some of that sparkle wears off with time, and sometimes it ends up being good. You like a movie more afterwards, after that experience has dissipated. But Rogue One held up for me. I found myself really, really enjoying and embracing the characters more. The special effects in it, again, I was just blown away. Yeah. They were incredible. And, you know, I hate overuse of CGI, and there was a lot of CGI in this, but that's how you do it. If you're going to do it like that. And I was a little less hateful about the faceovers, the CGI faces. They weren't as distracting when they weren't on a giant screen, or maybe because I'd already knew what I was seeing, it wasn't as offensive to me or distracting. So that wasn't as bad either. I still was a little like off put by Forest Whitaker's performance. It still felt disjointed from the rest of the movie, and I love him, but that's the only part that I have anything negative to say about. I think it's an outstanding film. I still stand by, you do not have to be a Star Wars fan to enjoy that.
Yeah, I still kind of think it might be my new favorite Star Wars film.
I think you're a little crazy with that.
It's really enjoyable to watch, and it ends so bleakly, and it fits so well in the universe despite being outside. To be that exciting with only, I mean, you don't get all the stuff you normally get. You get all the stuff you get from a Star Wars film, and you get the outer space battles, the ground troop battles, the AT-ATs and all that shit. But you're not getting Jedis and the traditional, you know, lightsabers and stuff that you would normally get. Yet it's still...
You do get that payoff at the end, though, with Vader.
They do pay you off. They do. But at the same time, it's not a focal point. It's a wrapping point.
No.
So...
No, that's just... That was a payoff to all the fans of something we wanted to see forever. That was just showing love to the franchise. And that was great. I have to say, though, it was really quite funny with everyone dying. Not that that's funny. But... but Liam, who's... You know, I have my one child that likes movies and my other child who is not interested in watching movies at all, and it kills me. But he's watching it, and he gets to a point where he's like, yeah, he's not going to die here. And I said, Liam, you've seen this before. He goes, yeah, I know he dies eventually. Everyone dies. Oh, that's part of the fun of watching it with other people sometimes. But yeah, that was funny.
So you reckon
everyone dies.
You recommend the rewatch?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for people that didn't see it in the theater, watch it now.
Okay. So, see Dunkirk, see Rogue One, and Jack Reacher's a thing. That brings us to the end of what we've been watching. It's time to get into Series 7. Here's some music about that. Let's dance.
Hey, you better listen up. It's time for the Series 7, so shut the fuck up.
Okay, so the Series 7 is just 7 film-related questions meant to generate discussions and opinions on film and pop culture. They can be interpreted however you want. You want to be funny, you want to be silly, you want to turn the question a little bit, don't really care, just say something interesting for Christ's sake. Okay, Rebecca?
Whoa, that's a lot of pressure.
That's what we do.
I know, it's like backhanded. It comes off as though it's supposed to be relaxed and chill, yet do something good.
Yeah, dance.
Be entertaining.
Do we seem like we're really that strict? I mean, we're not that strict, honestly. We've it doesn't matter. Okay, so let's start with question number one. We'll start with Rebecca, because she's our guest. And this one was inspired by you. I think you suggested this one. What film inspires you to want to travel to a particular place?
Okay, so I'm completely going to ruin any credibility I have up to this point. Well, I've not seen Memento, so that's already kind of shattered that. But the film Mamma Mia really inspires me to travel to Greece.
You've seen Memento.
Right.
You've seen Mamma Mia, but you were in the M section at the DVD place and saw Memento, or Memento as Heather would say, and skipped it for Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
Okay.
100.
Okay, Kai just aged himself by saying you were in the DVD place renting things.
Maybe
he doesn't anymore, Kai.
She could have been at Target. I don't know if they have those over there, but like...
No?
Okay, well, whatever Target is over there, you know, like, you probably have a Target-style store. What's your Target style? Do you know what Target is?
I do know what Target is, okay. But we actually do not have anything similar to Target in the UK.
You don't have somewhere where you can buy milk and underwear and action figures and cosmetics and hardware? What's wrong with that island?
That would just be like a huge supermarket or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know if we're talking about the same thing, but okay. Maybe it's just a supermarket.
Do you know what Walmart is?
Yeah. Okay. I was a camp counselor in Pennsylvania, so I've been to the States.
Okay, so Target is just where people are willing to spend $2 more so they don't have to go to Walmart.
Right.
That's what Target is.
Okay.
Pretty much.
That explains it perfectly. Yes, so Mamma Mia, which I saw in the cinemas.
Good segue. All right.
So, yeah. I've seen Mamma Mia so many times because it's just such a fantastic, uplifting movie, and you know Meryl Streep's in it, and you know what more can I say? But yeah, it really, really makes me want to go to Greece because, I mean, it's even set on a hotel apartment complex, whatever it is, with these beautiful old white buildings right on the sea. There's boats and there's a church on a hill which looks lovely, and it just paints it like a really wonderful place to visit.
Okay.
It's kind of set up that way. I mean, but it is. It's gorgeous. Just the color of the water. I'm not a fan of the movie. I wouldn't say I don't like the movie, but I'm not going to say I like it. But I where you're coming from. It's absolutely gorgeous. Well, I had to watch it. Pierce Brosnan was in it. So.
You know it is a good film.
What you are going to talk about?
No, Memento. You should check that out. Okay, now I'm dropping that. God. I'm going to drop that for the rest of the show because even I'm getting annoyed by it. Okay, so here's what I'll say for mine. The one place that the movies that make me want to not travel to this like area location, which I seem similar to me. I don't remember exactly where they went, but Return to Paradise and Broke Down Palace. I do not want to go wherever the fuck
that
happened.
I've not heard of either of them.
Oh dear Lord. Do you say your age? Are you comfortable sharing your age?
Yeah, I'm 24.
Okay, well, there we go. That's where the disconnect. Heather's old. I'm closer to you probably in age, but, you know, mentally.
Yeah, Kai's older than I am, and he struggles with his ageism a lot more than I do.
I'm fine.
35. It's fantastic.
I found that I'm getting more attractive as I get older. And I don't know. Is that like... No, I'm not even kidding. I really am. I'm not saying I'm fantastic or I'm Pierce Brosnan or anything, but I'm saying as I get older, I feel like I'm maturing into a much more handsome man than I was in my early 30s, so I don't really mind aging right now.
That's because Kai doesn't have gravity in his house.
Well, and I have a redhead powers in my house, so they clearly help. They can take you either way. They can hurt you or help you. They're like
yours
witch powers.
Definitely helps you.
Yes, she does. So
she is officially the better half.
Anyway, I'm going to segue just like Rebecca did right back into this. Anyway, so there's also a movie called The Beach with Leonardo DiCaprio that. What was that yours? Did I take it?
Well, it's for my next one, unless I answered inappropriately.
That's fine. We can go back to that. Don't worry about it. You can do it twice. But I was going to say, it plays with kind of like, it feels to me like the same types of locations, and they are very intriguing because they're beautiful. But because I don't know the culture very well, I'm scared to go there because I don't know if I'll turn down the wrong street or whatever. So I've always kind of liked that there's a part in Forrest Gump when he's kind of remembering all his travels, and it shows him when he's sitting on the boat looking out over the sunset, and when he's running down that road probably in like Utah or something where the mountains are shining like clear on the lake and it's just as beautiful. It's always made me want to like kind of just set out across the U.S. and do a road trip because I've been really limited to the California Southwest region of the nation. I'd really love to travel across the nation and go up into to parts of Canada and see all that stuff. And Forrest Gump makes me think of it when he hits all those kind of like real American hotspots, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a great scene, the one you're talking about where he is kind of reflecting. That's a really, really good scene. Yeah,
because you always feel he's kind of dumb, but when he reflects on it, it almost looks like he's sitting there thinking and admiring and taking it in, where most of us wouldn't even do that.
Yeah.
But it seems like he was capturing it the whole time is what we should all be doing, you know?
I think that whole part was kind of the point of the film, getting away from all of that and going in that direction. But that was literally all of it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
What about you, Heather?
Mine was not shocking at all, but mine is New Zealand and Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm. That was shot in Hawaii.
Shut up.
I know.
I'll stab you.
Sorry, good.
I actually kind of got a little thing for New Zealand. They used to do this great show on the Discovery Channel called the Eco Challenge, and they'd go to all these different places, and you'd have to go through all these different climates and stuff, but one of my favorite places that they went was New Zealand, and Australia too, I think. But New Zealand was one that I was totally struck by, and I just kind of forgot about it. I think if you ask most people before Lord of the Rings 2 if they knew where New Zealand was on the map, no one would be able to tell you. but a friend of mine went about 10 years ago too, and he's very well traveled, and he still says it's probably one of the most beautiful places in the world. But the people there from a faraway perspective also seem like they're really cool. They're in Iceland. Those are two places I'd like to go.
Yeah,
I'd like to go to Iceland because Iceland, those people still really, really believe in elves. Like,
I know.
that's like real. They have places you can't go. They have parks and roads you can't cross because elves are real. I want to be there.
I think that's the reason why they don't have like a train system in Iceland, because they can't go in a straight line long enough.
You're right.
Get in the way of where the elves, and the roads are so windy because they're like, well, we can't disturb the elves. Oh, it's fantastic.
Wait. This is a real fucking thing you guys are talking about?
Yes, go look it up. I'm not kidding. They have preserves and stuff, just special areas for elves. They think they're really small and they live like in the ground and are magical, and they freaking really believe it. It's so great. People believe in all sorts of crazy things. If you're going to believe in something crazy, believe in elves.
Yeah.
Well, let's end on that. All right, let's go to question number two. Rebecca, what film-related location would you like to visit most in real life? And it's funny that I think you sent me this one, too, and you put IRL for in real life, and I had to think about what it meant. I thought you were suggesting Ireland or something, but go ahead.
Oh, right, yeah. It must be an island. Mm-hmm. It cannot be any other country. I chose Bodega Bay in California for this one, where Hitchcock's The Birds were filmed. Maybe it might not be in California, actually. It's a bit south of San Francisco. Is that still
That's California, California? Yeah.
I don't know. yeah. Because I saw actually a travel blogger, a friend of mine, had put a blog post about it. And I just love how they've really just gone to town on making a huge deal out of the fact that The Birds was filmed there. And yeah, they've got like a cafe called The Birds, and they've got random characters that are like statues all over, and people go and like to have their picture taken in front of the old schoolhouse that's there. And I'm pretty sure there are like birds just hanging off of things like everywhere.
Wow.
So yeah, it looks really like they really commercialized the fuck out of that.
You could write a horror movie around that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I guess, but I don't know. I just kind of expect a lot of places in America is like that, where, like, this was filmed there, so let's just, like, really go to town on the fact that was filmed there.
Yeah, I live an hour. I live, like, less than, like, an hour from L.A., and it's ridiculous. In fact, our buddy Dylan was just up here a few weeks back, and he went into L.A. to go to that diner, and I can't think of the damn name of it, but it's in, like, a ton of movies you've seen, and they all take place in this one diner. So it was really neat, and he actually got to go and eat there. I'm of a different mindset. Like, this shit, and maybe it's because of where I live. And by the way, everything south of San Francisco is California until you hit Mexico, just so you know, the whole way down.
Okay.
I don't get too, like, hung up on this stuff, like, because you can walk through L.A. and see things shooting. I've gone to work before, and I've seen Sons of Anarchy filming. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's kind of just happens a lot.
Yeah,
it's normal for you. You're spoiled.
Yeah, and they shoot so much around L.A. and Orange County and things like that that you see a lot of it. Like, you just are familiar with a lot of locations. But some of it's neat. I think if I was going to do something, it'd be something iconic. Like, I'd really like to go run up the steps like Rocky did. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Well, as much as all of that is probably just to you, I went and visited Kai and his family a couple years ago, and he took me through the city and everywhere around there like a straight tourist, and I appreciate that because I know it was probably like, for him, but I thought it was fantastic, and I totally nerded out.
We went to, you've heard of Grauman's Chinese Theater, where they have all the handprints and the feet? Yeah, we did all that, and then, like, the celebrity walk of, like, stars and all that stuff in Hollywood and Viper Room, and we didn't go to Viper Room. We had kids with us.
We didn't have kids, but you did have me. So
we should have gone to the Viper Room, then. Okay.
We should have.
Yeah, but it was, like, a touristy little thing. It was fun.
It was very cool. For me, I was like, oh, my God, I've seen that and this, and I've seen that and that, and I've seen that. Oh, my God. My brain was like, short-circuiting. But Kai was like, yeah, I see this, like, all the time.
And if I go visit her, she's going to take me to 8 Mile and get me shot, so.
It's not that scary. Like, I go, I live in Detroit, like, just outside of Detroit, a suburb of it. So whenever I take people to the city, they're all scared. And I'm like, dude, this is fine. Seriously, I take my kids down here. It's really not a big deal.
Yeah, I think either of any of that. Yeah, I think because obviously I just have to get on such a long plane ride, so obviously it'd be worth it for me. So yeah, that sounds really cool.
If I went to England and London and stuff like that, I'd do exactly the same thing. I'd be like, oh my god, look at this! It's a red freaking phone booth.
That's why they love us so much.
Yeah, we act like idiots, but it's fine. We are.
What would you do, Heather? What would you like to visit as far as a movie theme thing?
This one, I was thinking about quite a few different things because, personally, I like solitude. I like the woods. When I vacation, I like to go off the grid where there's no toilets, there's tents, there's maybe a camper, and there's no connection with anything but nature. That, for me, is escapism, which is funny because I'm so plugged into technology every other day of my life. And my job is connected to it. But I like that kind of thing. However, Kai already mentioned the beach as being this is scary, but the location itself, I have no idea where they shot that, but it's still
Hawaii.
Was Hawaii?
I don't know. I'm just going to keep saying that for
Kai is the man of beating dead horses today, so yes. He should go on Game of Thrones set. But the idea of it, the whole idea of them being away from civilization and all of the other BS and politics and in that beautiful location, it wouldn't even necessarily have to be there, but the concept of it, somewhere beautiful and away and secluded, that for me would be the escapism that I would search for.
Cool.
No, it's funny that you're talking about the beach because I know that it was filmed in Thailand, I think, but they changed so much of the natural beach, like they bulldozed and landscaped to make it more paradise-like, altered some sand dunes, and apparently the lawsuits went on for ages because they just did so many like damages to ecosystems and stuff.
Oh my
so,
god.
That's a bit freaking ironic considering it was supposed to be we're embracing the herb.
Yeah. I know, and then the kind of they tried to like restore it, but then I mean the tsunami happened in 2004, so then they just kind of didn't have to do anything after that because the whole place was
wiped
damaged.
It all clean. Yeah,
yeah.
Nature re-bulldozed it.
Yeah, not a very happy story.
That's funny because you figure like Leonardo DiCaprio wouldn't be cool with that based on all
exactly,
his standings
yeah.
on things. You know what I mean?
You're so right. Oh.
Bloody Leo, God.
He should go over there in his private jet by himself and protest.
Yeah, he should.
With his, what is he? What are him and his friends with his pussy posse? What do they call themselves? They have a new name. The Wolf Pack?
I don't know. Is that serious?
No. Do you not know the story that like he and Lucas Haas and Tobey Maguire and...
Tobey Maguire,
no,
stop.
I'm not even kidding. And Kevin...
They're so getting Connelly, the toss-aways.
The redhead from Entourage. Okay, those four guys have known each other since they were young actors, and they're still like best friends. They were hanging out recently, and they called themselves in the late 90s, early 2000s, the Pussy Posse, and that kind of ended when Tobey Maguire got married to one of the studio head's daughters, and they just recently got divorced, and now they're back on the scene again, and they're calling themselves the Wolf Pack, and they've been seen
because they're all grown up. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
And they've been seen
That's
with
mature.
Orlando Bloom as well. He's the new member.
Okay, I've heard lots of funny stories about Orlando Bloom on a radio show that I listen to during the day, but I try to avoid listening to too many personal stories about actors because I don't want to dislike them. This is ridiculous.
This is when we're done here, Google Leonardo DiCaprio, Pussy Posse, Wolfpack. It'll all come up, and I'm not making this up, so just check
all
it
right.
out. It's extremely cool. interesting. Cool. Total dismissive. Total dismissive John Oliver. Cool I got right there.
That was great.
All right, Rebecca, let's go to you for question number three. Your favorite actor... what did I write here? Oh, favorite actor and movie character that shares your name. First, middle, or last, because my name is a little harder. But give me an actor or movie character that shares your name that you enjoy.
Okay, good. So it can be either or. That's
yeah,
good.
That's fine.
Okay,
I did both because I didn't realize which it was either.
Well, I can only come up with Rebecca Ferguson as like an actress that exists, and I don't really like her. So she's she's both my least favorite and favorite actress called Rebecca. So yeah, that's who I could come up with for that. But movie character, my favourite movie character called Rebecca is Rebecca from Ghost World. Purely because she's quite badass, and I quite love her sarcasm and her dry wit, I think is. I did once get called, like a friend of mine was like, oh, you're like Rebecca from Ghost World. And I'm like, really? And they're like, I can't remember. Which one is she? And I'm like, I am not Enid. Like, Enid is just the worst. So it could either be a great compliment or a really horrible insult. And to this day, I'm still not quite sure which one she was talking about. So but regardless, yeah, she's definitely my my favorite Rebecca.
What about the first one that popped in my head was Rebecca Hall. Do you like Rebecca Hall?
Oh, yeah. She's good.
I don't know if I know who Rebecca Hall is.
Okay, I'm going to quote a
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. I'm just looking at her on Wikipedia. Yeah, I don't really know what she's been in.
The Prestige, which is a Nolan film in the questionable gray area of your Nolan knowledge, but it's a really good film, and she's good in it.
I've not seen The Prestige.
Oh, my Lord.
I just watched it. It's called Christine, and it's on Netflix, and it is incredible.
That did look good.
Yeah, she was really good. I watched that a couple weeks ago. It was fantastic.
She's in Iron Man 3 as well.
Yeah.
That's easy to forget.
she was in Vicky Cristina Barcelona. She came across as quite snobby in that one, so that's not very... I understand she's acting, but still doesn't really... anyway.
Okay, I gotta tell you guys this for mine. So, before I tell you my movie one, I know we don't often do TV, but this is, like, strange. Have you ever watched The Vampire Diaries, Heather? Because I haven't.
Actually, I watched the first maybe 4 or 5 seasons on one of my weird Netflix binges.
Okay.
But a long time ago, so I don't know where it's at. I think they have, like, 10 seasons now or something.
Okay, apparently there's a multi-season character named the villain named Kai Parker.
What?
Literally has my name, and there's fan pages dedicated to him. I get, like, Twitter follow requests all the time from, like, fan pages for this character.
This is the most I've looked things up on.
That's cool.
It's cool, but it would have to be The Vampire Diaries, though, right? It couldn't be something like...
No, yeah, that's not
cool. You know? It's a WB show, so I don't remember this guy, so no, I have no idea. It was kind of fun the first couple seasons, if you take it in kind for what it is, I suppose.
Okay, but for movies, my middle and last name, obviously, Peter Benjamin Parker, Spider-Man himself, that's obvious, that had to go. My parents really dropped the ball there. However, I do like the name Kai, and the one I like the best, and there's not a lot to choose from, but Keanu Reeves is named Kai in a movie called 47 Ronin, which I don't know if you've seen, but I actually kind of like it, and it's Keanu, so it's badass. So I went with that one.
Nice.
What about you, Heather?
Good show.
Yeah.
I did 2 Heathers. I picked 2 because I would have picked Heather Locklear because I've always loved Heather Locklear. Always. I mean, I've worshipped the ground that beautiful woman has walked on. And speaking of getting better looking with age, I don't know how old she is, but she still is just freaking stunning. Like, gosh.
I feel like she looked good right up until she divorced Sambora. And then recently I thought I saw her and she wasn't looking so good. But she's really up there, so she still looks amazing for her age. But
I think,
like,
she's in her 50s.
Yeah, it looks like she's 55. Yeah. Looks great.
She looks great
for her age, but, like, a 45-year-old Heather Locklear looked like a 29-year-old Heather Locklear. Like, she was stunning.
Yeah, I think she went through a little drug rehab there for a while after their divorce, too. I think she was addicted to painkillers or something. Don't quote me on it. I'm not 100% sure, but I've always been a fan of her. But
Heather
she
confirms
really do...
Heather Locklear is a drug addict. Okay, go.
But I don't think of her as a film actress. She's best known for TV, even though she's been in films. So if I had to pick a film actress with my name, I would go with Heather Graham. Even though I didn't used to be a huge fan of hers, she's grown on me over time. And she is quite beautiful also. For a movie character with my name, there weren't really a lot of good Heathers. Heather's usually a name that's used for, like, ditzy blondes, and I've never been a fan of my own name myself.
Heather's the friend.
Heather's the friend, or Heather's, like, in the 80s, the frickin' gag me with a spoon, idiot. Yeah, not a good connotation attached to most Heathers, unless you're... apparently in England, because there's a lot. And Baxendale, nobody's going to have my last name. So I went with my middle name, which is easy. It's Lee. And then I picked Lee Christmas from The Expendables because I would really like to be Jason Statham. Yeah!
She zigged when I thought she was going to zag. That's funny.
At least I didn't run in a straight line and get shot with an arrow.
It's funny. If you're Heather, you're the friend. But if you're Linda, you're mom's friend, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's about right. Okay. But I'm not a really good sidekick. I kind of like to run and
tell
boss.
Me about it. All right, let's go on to question number four. This one's for Rebecca again. In honor of the beautiful redheads out there, let's name our top three movie gingers, and we will start with you.
Okay, so obviously Ron Weasley, and then Louise from Thelma and Louise, Susan Sarandon.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, definitely. And then Jessica Chastain, specifically in Zero Dark Thirty, because I didn't used to like her, but then it was Zero Dark Thirty I came to warm to her. And
can I tell you where she gets me? It's where she's just adorable is The Help.
Oh, she's fantastic. Oh, I love her in The Help. She's great. I've seen The Help so many times. Yeah, she's great in The Help.
It's good. All right, I like that list. Yeah. I like that list a lot. I went.
It was difficult list.
It is because, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I'll tend to, like, if I do one of these lists, I tend to Google the subject and kind of get everything out there in case I you always forget like one or two, right? So it just helps to refresh you. But I never want to be. I'm never going to give you a list that's like the top three off of like Google, you know. But I like seeing it, and like some of those like. Jessica Chastain popped up, but I didn't even, like, think about her. And that's a good one. I really like that one. Anyway, I went with – I really like Jessica Rabbit. She's, like, the ultimate, penultimate
– Oh, five.
Fantastic.
Well, and someone that is a cartoonist and likes drawing cartoons, like, that movie was, like, huge in my youth. So, like – and that character in particular, like, it's one of the few cartoons I think I've had sexual thoughts about, you know, which is strange, but – sexy character, interesting character, well drawn, great movie. She's probably close to my number one. Black Widow from the Avengers and all the Marvel films. I really like that, despite the fact that she deserves to have her own film, I like that they have used her in all the films and she's become a through line in that story. And I like the character arc that she's been given. And I think she's done a really good job with the character, Scarlett Johansson, even though she's a fake redhead. And then finally, I'm a little torn. And Heather's probably, I should say Mary Jane, but, like, honestly, I don't like any of the Mary Janes yet. So I'm going to go with a special shout out. Last week on the show, we were talking about that movie, The Way of the Gun. You remember that, Heather?
Yes, I do.
And we were talking about really good lines of dialogue, and there was that one where he says, shut that bitch's face up before I come in there and fuck start her face or something like that. It was like a really weird line of dialogue with Sarah Silverman in the scene.
Yes.
Sarah Silverman's boyfriend in that scene is played by this dude with a huge ginger afro, and it's like the coolest guy I've ever seen. So I'm nominating that guy for my number three. He gets left out of these lists far too much. Go back and watch it. Good movie. All right, what about you, Heather?
We have almost exactly the same list.
Do we? I thought someone from Mad Men might be on yours.
Well, yeah, but I think of her as, you know, more of a TV star also. And I wasn't thinking of what movie I would necessarily note her for specifically.
Drive.
Well, that's well, yes.
Okay.
So I have Jessica Rabbit, Black Widow, and you could interchange Christina Hendricks in Drive, or you could have Alan Tudyk as Wash.
Oh, Tudyk's! I didn't even Tudyk. Think about it. I didn't even think of it. Do you realize
that's the one I thought you were going to have? I seriously thought we were going to have the same list.
This is so funny. Rebecca, I don't know if you know this, but there's this ongoing thing that Heather thinks I look like Alan Tudyk.
Okay.
Yeah.
He does. There's a likeness. There is.
There
he
is
surely
a likeness.
Thinks so, true.
Yeah, my wife thinks it too. But theoretically, he is the child that me and my wife should have. He's a redheaded, looks like me guy.
Yeah, pretty much. And the funny thing is, and I only think this now that we've talked about your aging, that it has happened more in the last few years as you've gotten older. When you were younger and I first knew you, not as much. But now that gravity has left your house, you definitely look more like Alan Tudyk.
Well, and going through high school, I did the Breakfast Club circle. So, like, early on when I was really thin, I looked a lot like Anthony Michael Hall. But then, like, through my mid-20s, I got Emilio Estevez, like, all the time.
That's the first one I was going to say, but I've seen a picture of you, and I can see the Anthony Michael Hall also. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I was the nerd and the jock.
I don't look like anybody.
And the rebel.
That's awesome.
And the princess. whatever they call
Definitely the princess.
The criminal. Okay. Let's move on. This is a Heather question, so it's going to be long, like one of my tangents. Anthony Hopkins, Sam Jackson, and Robert De Niro don't know how to say no to any role ever. They have Nick Cage syndrome and are sick. What other aging respected actors are you seeing follow this theme and it makes you sad, Rebecca?
Oh, you see, I didn't really know how to answer this question, so I don't know if Heather wants to begin, if she wants to kind of...
You can kick it to the other side of the room, that's fine.
Yeah, let's hand it over to Heather.
Yeah, okay. This was something that actually came to me on the movie that I was talking about last week.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to mention it again because no one should see it and it should be forgotten, even though Jason Momoa was in it.
Jesus.
Bruce Willis inspired this question for me because lately he would do questionable films before, and maybe he's not like De Niro quality filmmaker, but he's always done a certain level of film that you could kind of rely on, at least in the last decade or so. But I'd say the last 2 to 3 years, there's been plenty of straight to DVD or whatever you want to call it now. Films that he's done. And I wouldn't even have a problem with that, as it seems like some actors are leaning towards that a little bit more now that it's become a much more popular way to reach their audience. But they're bad. They're like this one was Steven Seagal bad. And I kind of want to start watching them for the awfulness of them. Like I do when I watch a bad Nick Cage movie, I get excited because you never know with Nick Cage. You could get something that's really quality, like Joe, that you wouldn't expect. And then you could get Next.
Okay, but yeah, mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Well, I'd even say Next is a step up from some of that other stuff that Nick Cage is doing. But I'll just say, I want to jump in and say, I have Bruce Willis too, and it's for the same reason. He's done like a slew of movies that I didn't even know existed. He did one with Henry Cavill where he plays his father post-Superman. Like a bunch of these like weird ass films. Some of them have kind of interesting storylines, but some of them are just shit, man. And they're all on Netflix streaming. And I don't know, but the difference is Bruce Willis, I would still say, can command A-list roles. Or yes. Roles in A-list films, and he's a viable commodity. So that's, I think, what's more strange about it. Same with Samuel L. Like, one of the movies I was going to say what we've been watching was there's a Stephen King book I read years ago called Cell. And there was a movie being made of it. I was really excited. It was supposed to be Eli Roth. He dropped out. It ended up being – and here's another guy, John Cusack – who's done the same thing. John Cusack and Samuel L. Jackson are in the movie, and it is one of those roles for Sam Jackson, but at the same time, he's very prevalent and in very good film. He was just in fucking King Kong and Tarzan and all the Marvel movies last year. Like, he's viable.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. A lot of these guys, they still, because they are who they are and they've earned whatever, like, Sam Jackson, he's a commodity just by himself. He doesn't even have to play a role anymore. He can just show up as Sam Jackson and nobody's going to bitch or complain.
Yeah.
He can do more, but that's why he gets as much as he does. But people just love him. And it doesn't matter what he shows up in or how. But he was just in that terrible XXX movie I saw, too. I was like, oh, I forgot. Freaking Sam Jackson's in these. Jesus,
no,
shit.
No, he was in the Ice Cube one. That's how bad it
is.
Yeah,
he was in the Ice Cube one, and then he was a part of the new one, too. So, you know, he shows up in these really, really terrible films. But you will still see him in a good role on occasion. And it's the same thing with Robert De Niro. You see him in lots of terrible films now that you're just like, what is he doing? He was always choosy about the films that he was in before. Now he's just like, I'll just kind of do tons of rom-coms.
No. In 2001 or whatever it was, or 2, 3, 4, he did Meet the Parents and got like the comedy bug. That's what I think happened to Robert De Niro. Like, he wants to do more comedy. He dabbled in it before. But
it's more fun
to
make in that kind of thing. But he's one of those actors that, you know, seemed like an eternally serious actor. I mean, that's why I analyzed that was so funny, was because you never would expect him to be in a comedy.
Exactly. And he's still kind of playing his old characters.
But yeah, at that time he still was doing that. So I don't know. I just think it's kind of strange how it tends to happen. And some actors don't do it. Some still are very picky about the roles that they're in. But you do see some where they just start showing up and everything. And you go, you don't need a paycheck, man. What is happening?
All right, Rebecca, what are your thoughts? Or what do you care to add to this?
Well, I guess the only person I could really think of is Michael Caine's kind of doing a similar thing. But I struggle with that as well.
Because
he is doing some roles that are still quite good, I guess. He was in Interstellar, and he was in this film called Youth that I saw last year, which with Harvey Keitel, and I thought that was really good. And it was in Kingsman, but obviously it was also in Now You See Me 2, yeah, and the Last Witch Hunter, that with Vin Diesel. And I didn't see Going in Style with Alan Arkin and Morgan Freeman.
No, but that looked good.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, it's still a little bizarre. And that one's a great example of what I was thinking of when I asked the question is, yeah, he's still taken very seriously. People aren't going to stop taking Michael Caine seriously ever.
No.
So,
never.
So what is the inspiration to do these movies that are
I'll use a Michael Caine quote, a literal Michael Caine quote to sum this up for you, Heather, to answer that question.
He's going Batman.
Somebody asked him once about doing Jaws 4 The Revenge, and he goes, people have told me the film is shit. I haven't seen it. I have seen the paycheck that it gave me, and it bought a wonderful house. Or I have seen the house the paycheck bought me, and it's fantastic. That's what he said. So I think that kind of sums it up. And that, like, from what I know, Nick Cage was in a lot of like financial problems for a while there, so I think that's what sent him down that road. But I don't know about these other dudes. I think a lot of it is a paycheck, and we need to move on, so we are.
Okay.
Question number six. We're going to go back to Rebecca. Can you kick it off this time?
Yes.
Okay. Movie cliches. We've done this before. What is one that drives you nuts?
This might be a bit of a weird one, but people do not say bye on the phone in movies. This is not really, really a movie cliche. This is more of an observation that really pisses me off because no one ever says bye, ever. They just kind of abruptly hang up the phone.
That's good, because like if somebody just say bye to me,
really
I'll sit there and wait on the phone for a sec. Like, is this ending? We needed to use the B word, so I know to move on with my life. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's very true.
Exactly. Yeah, that's fine.
Mine is not quite as observant as yours, which I thought was very smart. Mine is one that I think I brought up before, but it just drives me nuts. It's whenever somebody's coming back from the grocery store, they have a fucking paper bag with a loaf of bread and the top of a carrot sticking out the top. It's just a loaf of bread and like carrots. It means like I bought food for tonight, and it's always just like one bag. Like we buy 18 bags of food every 2 weeks. Somebody's like, oh, I'm just gonna come home and prepare this dinner of carrots and fresh vegetables and loaves, and then I'll go to the store tomorrow because I don't have anything else to do but buy food and cook. Dumb fucking assholes. All right, Heather.
Clive Owen's allowed to have carrots at any time he wants to in any film, though. That's acceptable.
Go ahead, Heather. What's yours?
Mine's more of a movie theme thing, and it has to do with you see it mostly in romantic comedies, but some comedies do it a lot too. It's where everything seems to be going fine for the character, and then suddenly there's a wacky mix-up. Ooh.
Oh.
Hey, the woo. Oh, the twisty turnabout. Like, oh, this is great. There's somebody mistaking something for something that didn't happen, and then everything falls apart in the person's life, and then everyone's sad.
It's called the inciting incident, Heather. It's pivotal to a movie.
It's bullshit. And it goes, and it does, it starts all the way back to like Shakespearean comedy and tragedy where they have this thing that happens, and it's fine because it does work on a certain level, but it only works when it's executed properly.
Yeah.
It's done in such a circus formed way now that it's just every time a movie hits that point, I'll turn off a movie now.
No, my problem is like,
I don't want to watch the last 20 minutes of this film because it sucks.
Here's the thing. It's not a problem when all that shit happens. It's a problem when Jim thinks this about Linda, his mom's friend. Linda thinks this about Jim. But Jim and Linda don't ever fucking talk about it the whole movie. Like this, like the whole movie. If the whole movie plot could be like solved in a conversation between two people, that should happen anyway. Then you don't have a good plot twist. You know what I mean?
No. Yeah, it's insulting and it's annoying, and it gives me horrible anxiety as well. I get all tense and I want to smash things.
That's how I feel with you. Question number seven. Let's go back to Rebecca. What child character from a film were you most like as a kid?
I couldn't really think. The first one that popped to my mind, are you going to think that I'm some sort of posh kid that lived in a townhouse on the corner of Hyde Park in London? But I'm going to say Annie from The Parent Trap, because I think I was quite up myself and thought I was amazing. And I think she kind of thinks that she's great at everything and is smarmy little git at times. So yeah, that was me. That was me as a child.
Oh, I don't think you're posh at all. I think it's extremely sexy to hear your accent say posh, though. I'm going to say that right
now. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Seriously.
Definitely a fan. Actually, I like it when she says anything, so.
There you go. Yeah. I would go, this is going to be a little depressing. Sorry. I could probably, like, relate to all four of the kids from Stand By Me, but I was most... And I think everybody kind of wanted to be River Phoenix, but I think I was most Will Wheaton because I was, like, artistic and I came from kind of, like, an abusive home and things like that. So I kind of I tended to kind of, you know, side with that and his creative energies and things like that. And I don't know. Is that sad? I don't know.
Well, it's not sad.
Okay.
But you just made it sad.
I know. All right, Heather, cheer us back up then.
Well, mine's not going to be much better, you jerk.
Okay.
Mine, and it'll sound funny at first, but my reason for it isn't as funny as I guess you think. I think part of the reason I love Drop Dead Fred so much is because I actually really, I kind of felt like I knew what it was like to be Snotface when I was a kid. I had my home life was a little strange. Enough that I felt like I needed to escape into a fantasy world all the time, which I think is one of the reasons I love movies so much. Movies and books have always been my escapism from whatever bad things are going on. And for her, she had Fred. I had imaginary friends, too. I had all sorts of imaginary things that I made up and crazy, crazy things. And when I saw her, for her, it was her, you know, mother and her father was gone and the fighting between them and stuff. And she was still trying to be like this fun little girl and have a good time in the middle of all of it. And I feel like that's kind of how I was as a little kid. And of course, nobody really got that about me at all. They just thought I was bonkers, which is also
accurate. You
are! Yes, completely accurate. But yeah, that aspect of her, that was a lot like me as a little girl.
You know what? That wasn't sad. That was sweet. Thank you for sharing.
Oh.
Thank you for sharing with the group, Heather.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I should be in a circle.
Well, you know who's in a circle right now? It's Rebecca, because now the spotlight is on her. Rebecca, we're one for traditions on the show. We have a tradition here. It's that everybody comes on, does a celebrity impression, because we have a theory that everyone does a bad celebrity impression. Now, the floor is yours. We'd like to hear what you have for us.
Well, I do a really bad Scottish accent, so I chose Kayleigh McDonald, the voice of Merida in Brave, and Diane in the Trainspotting movie. So I had to go with her because I couldn't think of anything else.
Oh my god, I love it! Kayleigh McDonald was the first one I thought of, and I thought of Trainspotting, and of course you went to the redhead, the Brave
yes.
character.
Yeah, I guess. I'm really glad that's over.
Okay, Rebecca, because you've just recently listened to the show in the last year or so, I have to tell you, for the first few years we did the show, we were on a hiatus for about 2 years. But before that, there were several years that Kai had me do that at the end of every single show.
Knows three.
No, after
good.
A while, they just all sounded like either Arnold Schwarzenegger or Billy Madison. Either or, and bad versions of each.
All right, well, take us out, Heather. Give me a little Billy Madison.
What are you looking at, Swan?
That's not even a good... You can do better. Come on, one more time. There we go. All right, let's play the game. Play the music.
The game, the game. Don't blow it, the game.
All right, it's time for the game. The game is very simple. I've chosen three films for Rebecca today. For each film, I'm going to give her seven clues that are taken from IMDb. They include the year and genre of the film, actors in the film, tagline, director. If you were to guess it on the first clue, Rebecca, I'll give you 7 points. Second clue, 6 points, so on down. We say that if you get a 12, you've done pretty good. 21, a perfect score, probably not going to happen. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because I stepped all over that. Here we go. Your first film for 7 points is... A 2010 action comedy crime.
Action.
And I should say, we have instituted a time rule. You will have 10 seconds to answer.
That's fine. The only film I can think of at the moment that came out in 2010 is Inception. I don't even think it came out in 2010.
I think it did. Or was it 11? I think you're right, but that's not correct.
No.
Not a lot of comedy in that one.
Not a lot of comedy.
For 6 points, the wonderful Carl Urban is in this film.
Carl Urban.
Sunday, Carl Urban. With a 210, 5, and 67 freeways meet.
2010, Star Trek?
That's incorrect. For 5 points, the tagline to this film is, it was a good guess, the tagline to this film is, there's no substitute for experience.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Or were you praying for help?
But that was close, I think. I love Carl Urban. He's not the lead actor in this, though. He's in a supporting role.
Oh, yeah. This is the one thing Heather knows.
And the only thing I can think of, I don't even really know any things that Carl Urban's in, so the only thing I can think of is Dread, and I know that's definitely not Dread, but I can't think of anything else, so Dread.
No, we encourage you to answer any film rather than I don't know, so you're doing fantastic. Don't feel bad. For four points, and I know how Heather's going to respond the second she hears this, John Malkovich is in this movie.
John Malkovich.
What do you say,
Malkovich.
There it is, yeah.
Malkovich.
2010.
Malky.
Is it Red?
It is Red for 4 points. That is correct.
Good.
Yes, we're doing well.
You're on pace for 12. You're doing very great. Now, this is where the points double, and they really met. No, I'm just kidding. For 7 points, this one
is. I get the theme.
Jesus, Heather needs to know when to talk and when to not. 1998 comedy drama. Imagine the show is a giant cog and you being a giant wrench and shoving the wrench in the cog.
Is this a clue? Like, I don't.
No, I'm just saying that. I don't. I'm not being mean. Heather doesn't know when she's messing up what I have planned. I don't mind when she talks a lot and does weird stuff. I love Heather. I just sometimes she steps on the actual, like. She gave you a big hint that we have been theming these movies lately.
Oh, I don't think that'll help. Okay. So 98 was it?
Yes, it is a comedy drama.
Shakespeare in Love comedy, but okay.
Well, kind of. It's in the romantic comedy section in video stores in the time.
I'm going to check one thing to maybe help you out, too. I want to make sure that it didn't have another genre attached to it, because I think I may have left one off. So let me just pull that up real quick, and I can let you know. In the meantime, I will let you know that for 6 points, Kathy Bates is in this film. And no, it is just a comedy drama, according to IMDb.
Okay. Kathy Bates, 98. What was she doing? Probably not Misery.
She also is either in a supporting role in this film or it's an ensemble cast.
Yes.
Yeah. I know that's the general consensus, but
I don't know what it is.
I don't really know it. Ugh, what else came out in 98? We've already mentioned it, but The Parent Trap, and she wasn't in it, and it's not a drama. So
okay.
Great.
No, you're doing fine. For 5 points. What the tagline is, what went down on the way to the top?
What?
I really like this movie, too. I'm a big fan of this movie.
I don't know any of the films that Kathy Bates has been in, apart from Midnight in Paris, and that was 2010, so it's definitely not that. But I'm going to guess that, because I don't know any other films.
Okay, for 4 points, Emma Thompson was a co-star of this film. You know her.
I do know Emma Thompson, yeah. I don't believe I'm going to know this film at all. Film Emma Thompson was in. Let's think of one in the 90s. Sense and Sensibility. Great. That was a comedy drama with Kathy Bates in it.
You know, that's that's the one my wife would have said, too. How funny. All right. For 3 points, if you've done your film, cinematic, cinephile homework, this should help a lot. Mike Nichols directed this film.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
And I actually only guessed this because I figured out the theme.
I do not know this. I don't know this film because the only film I know that Mike Nichols directed was Working Girl. I don't know any other films.
Oh, at least you know Working Girl. What about The Graduate? You don't know he did The Graduate?
Oh, I've watched it. I guess I didn't know that he directed it. I forgot. I don't know. I don't believe I know this film, but I'm just going to keep randomly guessing films based on the new clue. So I'm going to say Working Girl.
Okay, I like it. For 2 points, John Travolta is the star of this film.
I don't know this film. I don't know it.
It's not very good, so don't bother watching it.
It is a good film, I think. Sorry.
Don't like it.
Where he mimics a very famous...
It was well acted.
Political figure.
I just didn't enjoy it.
I don't know this
and
film.
And what went down on the way to the top apparently was a lot of women.
Yeah.
That is kind of the theme of the whole thing.
What? Okay. I don't
American
know this
Scandal
film.
Over here.
I don't mean to offend you, but like it's a film about scandal, so a lot of it's sexual scandal, so I'm just giving you as much info as I can. I'm trying to help here.
That's so nice of you. I don't know it. I don't know this film.
Okay, for 1 point, do you know what red, yellow, and blue are? It's not a trick question. Like, do you know what they are referred to as? The combination of the three, or the all three of them? They
yeah,
are
they're primary colors.
Primary colors. That is correct for 1 point. Congratulations.
I've never heard of this film before.
I said, you aren't at least missing anything on this one, I don't think. It's not a horrible movie. I'm just not a fan. And
I enjoy it. Also want to be the dude from Expendables. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, remember, we have red, we have primary colors, we have you on the show. Okay. Do you see where we're going?
I do now, yeah.
So I've never seen this one, and this might be hard for you, but I'm going to tell you, it's a 1979 comedy drama musical.
Ooh, comedy drama musical, 1979, Grease.
Ooh, not bad. Think of that theme, okay? For 6 points, Beverly D'Angelo is in this film. I think I mentioned her earlier.
Yeah, which is pretty random.
Welcome to Beverly Talk with Kai and Heather.
I love Beverly.
Beverly is also your mom's friend, right?
Beverly is definitely a mom's friend.
Yeah.
I don't know who Beverly D'Angelo is.
She is. I'll help you. She was, you ever seen Vacation movies? The European Vacation or Christmas Vacation or Vacation?
No, I don't think they're very big over here. I don't think.
They even did one about over there. No. She plays Chevy Chase's wife. She was in a long-time relationship with Al Pacino. I don't know what else to tell you.
She was, if you watched Entourage as well, she was on there as a agent. With Ari Gold.
Now we've mentioned Entourage twice. What is going on today? Go ahead.
Oh, you're right. We did. Wow, that's random.
Stick with the theme. Stick to the theme.
Late 70s musical. Hairspray.
No.
Okay.
I know this one because my mom watched it.
I'm going to give you two taglines for this film, okay?
Okay.
So the first one is, let the sun shine in. And the second... Ooh. Is the Star Wars of movie musicals, according to Australia. That was the Australia tagline. I thought it was funny. So, I want to tell you, I like where your head's at. You're jumping all around it.
I really, really like how many clues you're giving me, and I think it's helped, because I think it's hair.
That is correct for 5 points! You done did so good.
Red, primary colors, and hair. I like it, Kai.
Hey, so you got a 10, which our good friend Dylan, who comes on the show a lot, who will be here on our next episode for our penultimate pre-episode 100, he often says that the 12 thing is not really fair now that we've had the timer instituted, and you got a 10, which is really good.
Yes.
Oh, I feel pretty pleased with 10, I have to say, considering I didn't know what the middle film was. I'm so happy with 10, really happy with 10.
Well, congratulations.
I, most of the time, don't know the movies that Kai has picked ahead of time, so I'm guessing along with you guys... And I almost never get double digits.
Okay.
So it's hard. It's hard.
Well, do me a favor, Rebecca. I'm sorry, Heather. You want to go on about this? We're like 10 minutes over.
No.
Jesus Christ, kid. At the last question in the Series 7, when she started talking about Shakespeare, I was like, oh, please don't go on a Shakespeare tirade right now. We're like right at time.
We're all day.
Rebecca, it was a pleasure to meet you. I want to thank you for coming on. Thanks for putting up with our shit. Will you please take a moment and plug all your things one more time for us?
Well, thank you so much for having me. I've not done anything recently because I'm shit like that sometimes. But I swear, if you go on almostginger.com, there's some good stuff on there. I went to Cannes this year, so there's some blog posts on Cannes. So that's quite exciting. So yeah, just have a Avaganda.
You went to Cannes? Seriously?
Yes, I did. I went to Cannes.
Wow. There's my Midwest colloquialism. I call it Cannes. Is it Cannes or Cannes?
I was just going to say you said that so fucking wrong.
It could be. Like, in your accent where you're from, it could be. I mean, if I said Cannes, people just look at me like, you think you're...
I think you're correct. I used to call it Cannes, so that's not right. I know that, but...
You're heading in the right direction.
Okay, I'll keep working on it. All right, Heather, what do we got to plug?
You should follow us on Facebook if you're not, because I've been posting a lot more stuff on there lately. Also, you can follow us at MILFcast on Instagram, which is fantastical. You can follow Kai at Kiderman on Twitter, or you can follow me at Heather_Kenobi on Twitter, because sometimes we tweet and twat and things like that. And Kai has some awesome artwork that he does, too, at The Amazing Kiderman, is that correct?
That is correct. I just got these killer, I did a picture of Barb from Stranger Things, and I had them made into stickers, and there might be one in the mail, I'm just saying. Anyway, that's about it for us. I could do this all day, but there's Pokemon, legendary Pokemon to be caught, and movies to be watched, and beer to be drank, and we'll go do that and see you next time. Heather!
You should play Movie Seen It on Xbox so you can punch your TV.
It's on the Xbox?
Yeah, you can download it. It's Mike got it like a couple weeks ago.
This is where the music's playing. You really just want to rap, and then we can go into it after.
Yeah.
See, remember the cog and the wheel story? No.
Hi. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
No worries.
Have you met Kai before?
No. No woman would forget that.